Hey everyone, it's Naomi Wolf, and I've been absent for a while. As many of you know, I've been in the hospital, but now I am back and ready to go. And many of you have asked me to pick up again with the Geneva Bible readings. So here we are. We last left, this is the 1560 Geneva Bible. We last left Joseph in prison, and he had explained to the butler and the baker, the Pharaoh's butler and baker, who were also in prison with him, what their dreams had meant. And it turns out that he had predicted correctly. What he foresaw came to pass. But the chief butler did not remember Joseph when he was reinstated in Pharaoh's court. Rather, he forgot him. So what we're going to do tonight is read right through from chapter 41 to the end of Genesis. It's the whole story of Joseph because it really is a unit. And then I want to show you one of the most extraordinary mistranslations in this entire saga of identifying mistranslations. So chapter 41. And 2 years after, Pharaoh also dreamed, and behold, he stood by a river. And lo, there came out of the river seven goodly kine, which means cattle, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And lo, seven other kine, cattle, came up after them out of the river, evil-favored and lean-fleshed. You'll have to ignore my adorable puppy and his weird sounds. He's barking at shadows and light. And the evil-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. Again he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, seven ears of corn grew upon one stalk, rank, which means full and goodly. And lo, seven thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprang up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears. Then Pharaoh awaked, and lo, it was a dream. Now, when the morning came, his spirit was troubled. Therefore, he sent and called all the soothsayers, like truth tellers, prophets of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but none could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I call to mind my fault this day, like I've made a mistake. Pharaoh, being angry with his servant, put me in ward, meaning in prison, in the chief steward's house, both me and the chief baker. Then we dreamed a dream in one night, both I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant unto the chief steward, whom when we told, he declared our dreams to us, meaning he explained them to us. To everyone he declared according to his dream. And as he declared unto us, so it came to pass, for he restored me to mine office and hanged him. Then sent Pharaoh and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of prison. And he shaved himself, he shaved him and changed his raiment, his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and no man can interpret it. And I've heard say of thee that when thou hearest a dream, thou canst interpret it. You can interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, without me, God shall answer for the wealth of Pharaoh. What he's saying there is, it's not me. It's really God that's interpreting it. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood by the bank of the river, and lo, there came up out of the river seven fat-fleshed and well-favored kine cattle, and they fed in the meadow. Also, lo, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored, evil-favored, and lean-fleshed. I never saw the like in all the land of Egypt for evil-favored. They were so bad-looking. And the lean and evil-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still as evil-favored as they were at the beginning. So did I awake. Moreover, I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears sprang out of one stalk, full and fair. And lo, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprang up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. Now I have told the soothsayers, and none can declare it unto me. No one can interpret it for me. Then Joseph answered Pharaoh. Both Pharaoh's dreams are one. They're both one dream, essentially. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine cattle are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. This is one dream. Likewise, the seven thin and evil-favored kine that came out after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I've said unto Pharaoh, that God has shown unto Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty in all the land of Egypt. Again, there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, so that all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. Neither shall the plenty be known in the land by reason of this famine that shall come after, for it shall be exceeding great. The famine that comes after the years of plenty is going to be so severe that all the good years will be forgotten. And therefore, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh the second time, because the thing is established by God, and God hastens to perform it. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh provide for a man of understanding and wisdom, and let him and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh make and appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Also, let them gather all the food of the good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. So the food shall be for the provision to feed of the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not by famine. And the saying pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. Then said Pharaoh unto his servants, can we find such a man as this, in whom is the spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has shown you all this, there is no man of understanding or of wisdom like unto you. You shall be over mine house, and at your word shall all my people be armed. Only in the king's throne will I be above thee. He's saying, you will be my second in command. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him, dressed him in garments of fine linen and put a golden chain about his neck. So he set him upon the best chariot that he had, save one. And they cried before him, Abrech, and placed him over all the land of Egypt. Again, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt. He's giving him so much power. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnat Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Osnat, the daughter of Potipherah, prince of On. And then went Joseph abroad in the land of Egypt. Then he went out to do his work. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph, departing from the presence of Pharaoh, went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth store, meaning a great deal of food. And he gathered up all the food of the seven plenteous years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up food in the cities. The food of the field that was round about every city laid he up in the same. So Joseph gathered wheat like unto the sand of the sea in multitude out of measure until he left numbering. It was so vast, he didn't even number it anymore, for it was without number. Now unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came. Osnat, the daughter of Potipherah, prince of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my labor and all my father's household. Also he called the name of the second Ephraim, for God, said he, hath made me fruitful in the land of mine affliction. So the 7 years of the plenty that was in the land of Egypt were ended. Then began the 7 years of famine to come, according as Joseph had said. and the famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt was bread. At the length, all the land of Egypt was famished, and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, what he says to you, do ye. When the famine was upon all the land, Joseph opened all places wherein the store was, where the food was stored, and sold unto the Egyptians, for the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. The famine was very bad. And all countries came to Egypt to buy corn of Joseph, because the famine was sore in all lands. And there's notes, as you recall, on the margins. His age is mentioned both to show that his authority came from God and also that he suffered imprisonment and exile 12 years and more. And then elsewhere it says, none should be preferred to honor who have not gifts of God more than fame. So this is the next chapter. Then Yaakov saw, and that's his dad, as you recall, that there was food in Egypt. And Yaakov said unto his sons, why gaze you upon one another? Why are you looking at each other? And he said, behold, I've heard that there is food in Egypt. Get you down thither, go there, and buy us food thence, that we may live and not die. So went Joseph's 10 brothers down to buy corn of the Egyptians. And you remember from our last reading that Joseph's brothers had tried to kill him and had left him in a pit where he was bought by some nomads and taken basically as a slave to the land of Egypt. So Joseph doesn't have any good memories or feelings about what happened the last time he was with his brothers. So, and by the way, Jacob, his dad, does not know that he was left in a pit. He believes that he died because you recall the brothers brought the coat of many colors to the dad and said, look, it's covered in blood. And the dad assumed that a wild animal had eaten Joseph. So went Joseph's 10 brothers down to buy corn of the Egyptians. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, would not Jacob send with his brothers, for he said, lest death should befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy food among them that came, for there was famine in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, who sold to all the people of the land. Then Joseph's brothers came and bowed their face to the ground before him. And when Joseph saw his brothers, he knew them, he recognized them, and made himself strange toward them. He concealed the fact that he knew them, and spoke to them roughly and said unto them, whence come ye? Where are you from? Who answered, out of the land of Canaan to buy victual, to buy food. Now Joseph knew his brothers, but they knew him not. They did not recognize him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamt of them. And he said unto them, you are spies and are come to see the weakness of the land. But they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy vital, thy servants are come. We are all one man's sons. We mean truly, and your servants are no spies. They're saying we are not spies. We're really just here to buy food. But he said unto them, nay, but ye are come to see the weakness of the land. And they said, we thy servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest this day is this day with our father, and one is not. And talk about a euphemism. They're talking about Joseph. Again, Joseph said unto them, this is it that I spake unto you, saying, you are spies. He's insisting. Hereby you shall be proved. This is how I'm going to test you. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Bring your younger brother to me. Send one of you which may get your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, tested, whether there be truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, you are but spies. So he put them in ward, prison, 3 days. Then Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, if you're honest, let one of your brothers be bound in your prison house, and go you, carry food for the famine of your houses. But bring your younger brother unto me, that your words may be tried, tested, and you may die not. And they did so. And they said to one another, "We have verily sinned against our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear him. Therefore is this trouble come upon us." They're saying, this is happening to us because we tried to kill our brother, and we saw how distraught he was. And Reuben answered them, saying, "Warned I not you, saying, sin not against the child, and you would not hear? And lo, his blood is now required," meaning Benjamin. And they were not aware that Joseph understood them, for he spoke unto them by an interpreter. Then he turned from them and wept, and turned to them again, and communed with them, and took Simeon from among them, and bound him before their eyes. So Joseph commanded that they should fill their sacks with wheat, and put every man's money again in his sack, and give them victual, food for the journey. And thus did he unto them. And they laid their victual upon their asses, their donkeys, and departed thence, left there. And as one of them opened his sack for to give his ass, his donkey, provender in the inn, food at the inn, he espied his money, for lo, it was in his sack's mouth. Then he said unto his brothers, "My money is restored, for lo, it is even in my sack." And their hearts failed them, and they were astonished, and said to one another, "What is this that God has done unto us?" They were absolutely terrified. And they came unto Yaakov, their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that had befallen them, saying, "The man who is lord of the land spoke roughly to us and put us in prison as spies of the country. And we said to him, 'We are true men and are not spies and are no spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan.' Then the lord of the country said unto us, 'Hereby shall I know that you be true men.'" Leave one of your brothers with me and take food for the famine of your houses and depart and bring your youngest brother unto me that I may know that ye are no spies but true men. For will I deliver you, your brother, and you shall occupy in the land. And as they emptied their sacks, behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. Then Yaakov, their father, said to them, "You have robbed me of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin. And all these things are against me." You can understand how he feels. Then Reuben answered his father, saying, "Slay my two sons if I bring him not to you again. Deliver him to my hand. Make me responsible for him, and I will bring him to you again, Benjamin, the youngest." And he said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead and he is left alone. If death come unto him by the way which ye go, then you shall bring my gray head with sorrow unto the grave." Now, great famine was in the land. And when they had eaten up the victual which they had brought from Egypt, their father said unto them, "Turn again, go back and buy us a little food." And Judah answered him, saying, "The man charged us by an oath, saying, 'Neither see my face except your brother be with you. Don't come back here without Benjamin.' If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, 'Look me not in the face except your brother be with you.'" And you notice all these repetitions of what Joseph had said. And Israel said, and that's the same name as Jacob, the dad, "Wherefore dealt ye so evil with me as to tell the man whether you had yet a brother or no?" And like, this dialogue sounds so like authentic. The dad is saying, "Why did you even tell him you had a brother at home?" And they answered, "The man asked straightly of ourselves and of our kindred, saying, 'Is your father yet alive? Have ye any brother?' And we told him according to these words. Could we know certainly that he would say, 'Bring your brother down'?" Like, we had no idea that he would say, "Bring your brother down." Then said Judah to Israel, his father, "Send the boy with me that we may rise and go, and that we may live and not die, both we and you and our children. I will be surety for him. I'll assure that he comes back. I'll be responsible for him. Of mine hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had made this tarrying, if we weren't lingering so long, doubtless by this we had returned the second time. We would be there by now. Then their father Israel said unto them, if it must needs be so now, do thus. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and bring the man a present, a little rosin and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. They're looking at what they have around them to bring as a present. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in your sack's mouth, carry it again in your hand, lest it were some oversight. Take also your brother and arise and go again to the man. And God Almighty give you mercy in the sight of the man, that he may deliver you, your other brother and Benjamin. But I shall be robbed of my child as I have been, this poor traumatized dad. And thus the men took this present and took twice so much money in their hand with Benjamin and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to his steward, bring these men home and kill meat and make ready, for the men shall eat with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade and brought the men unto Joseph's house. Now when the men were brought into Joseph's house, they were afraid and said, because of the money that came in our sack's mouth at the first time are we brought, that he may pick a quarrel against us and lay something to our charge and bring us in bondage and our asses and our donkeys. Therefore came they to Joseph's steward and communed with him at the door of the house. They tried to talk to the steward and said, oh, sir, we came indeed down hither the first time to buy food. And as we came to an inn and opened our sacks, behold, every man's money was in his sack's mouth, even our money in full weight. But we have brought it again in our hands. We've brought it back to you. Also other money have we brought in our hands to buy food, but we cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, he reassured them. He said, peace be unto you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father has given you that treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought forth Simon to them. So the man led them into Joseph's house and gave them water to wash their feet and gave their asses, their donkeys, provender, food. And they made ready their present against Joseph came at noon. They got ready to give Joseph the present, for they heard say that they should eat bread there. When Joseph came home, they brought the present into the house to him, which was in their hands, and bowed down to the ground before him. And he asked them of their prosperity, like, how are they? How are they doing? And said, is your father the old man of whom you told me in good health? Is he yet alive? Can you imagine? He's asking if his own father is alive. Who answered, your servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down and made obeisance. They bowed down to him. And he, lifting up his eyes, beheld his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. So he was half brothers with all these other half brothers, but Benjamin is his full brother, his mother's son. And said, is this your younger brother of whom you told me? And he said, God be merciful unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his affection was inflamed toward his brother, and sought where to weep. He was looking for somewhere to cry because he was so moved, and entered into his chamber, went into his room and wept there. Afterward, he washed his face and came out and restrained himself and said, set on meat, go ahead and serve the meal. And they prepared for him by himself. He ate by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that was an abomination unto the Egyptians. The Egyptians did not eat with the Hebrews. They saw it as degrading or unclean. So they sat before him, the eldest according to his age and the youngest according unto his youth. And the men marveled among themselves. They were amazed. And they took meats from before him, sent to them, but Benjamin's meat was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and had of the best drink with him. Afterward, he commanded his stewards, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth." And you hear these repetitions again. "And put my cup," I mean the silver cup, "in the sack's mouth of the youngest, in his corn money." And he did according to the commandment that Joseph gave him. And the note is, we may not by this example use any unlawful practices, seeing God has commanded us to walk in simplicity. And in the morning, the men were sent away, they and their asses, their donkeys. And when they went out of the city, not far off, Joseph said to his steward, "Up, follow after the men. And when you do overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you rewarded evil for good? Is that not the cup wherein my Lord drinks, and in which he does divine and prophesy, in which he analyzes divinations or omens? You have done evil in so doing.' And when he overtook them, he said those words unto them." And the note says, because the people thought he could divine, meaning like prophesy, he attributed to himself the knowledge, else he pretends that he consulted the forefathers for it, which simulation is worthy to be reproved. So again, these commentators are saying Joseph shouldn't have pretended to be a diviner of the future. And they answered him, Why says my Lord such words? God forbid that your servants should do such a thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again to you out of the land of Canaan. How then, why would we steal out of your Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of your servants it be found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. And he said, now let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and you shall be blameless. Then at once every man took down his sack to the ground, and everyone opened his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest, and left, ended at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And they rent, they tore their clothes, and laded, made heavy, loaded up, every man his ass, his donkey, and went again into the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. Then Joseph said unto them, what act is this which you have done? Know you not that such a man as I can divine and prophesy? Then said Judah, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, and how can we justify ourselves? God has found out the wickedness of your servants. Behold, we are servants to my Lord, both we and he with whom the cup is found. But he answered, God forbid I should do so. But the man with whom the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And go ye in peace unto your father. So they're saying, you know, this is really bad. We're in deep trouble. We'll be your servants and your slaves, basically. And Joseph is saying, I'm not going to do that. But the person who stole the cup, that person will be my servant. Then Judah drew near unto him and said, O my Lord, let your servant now speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not your wrath be kindled against your servant, for you are even as Pharaoh, you're as important as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we answered, my Lord, we have a father that is old, and a young child which he begat, which he fathered in his age, in his old age, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him. Now they said unto your servants, bring him unto me. Now he said unto the servants, bring him unto me, that I may set mine eye upon him. Bring him so I can see him. And we answered, my Lord, the child cannot depart from his father, for if he leave his father would die. So Judah is pleading with Joseph. Then said you unto your servants, except your younger brother, unless your younger brother come down with you, look in my face no more. So when we came unto your servant, our father, and showed him what my Lord had said, and our father said unto us, go again, buy us a little food. Then we answered, we cannot go down, but if our younger brother unless our younger brother go with us, then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. Then your servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, of a surety, certainly he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And of course, he's talking about Joseph. Now you take this also away from me, meaning now you're trying to take Benjamin away from me. If death take him, then he shall bring my gray head in sorrow to the grave. And you're hearing these echoes, right? This is the second time this sorrow to the grave is mentioned. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the child be not with us, seeing that his life depends on the child's life, then when he shall see that the child has not come, he will die. So shall your servants bring the gray head of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. And that's the third time this echo exists. Doubtless your servant became surety for the child to my father, like security, and said, if I bring him not unto you again, I will bear the blame unto my father forever. Now, therefore, I pray you, let me, your servant, bide for the child. Let me be in the place of the child. Hold on to me. Hold me hostage as a servant to my Lord, and let the child go up with his brothers. For how can I go up to my father if the child be not with me? Only I would see the evil that shall come on my father. We've only got a couple more quick chapters. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all that stood by him, but he cried, have forth every man from me, take everyone away from me. And there tarried not one with him, no one stayed with him, while Joseph uttered himself unto his brethren, and Joseph spoke to his brothers. And he wept and cried, so that the Egyptians heard, the house of Pharaoh heard also. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were astonished at his presence. They were stunned. Again, Joseph said to his brothers, come here, I pray you, to me. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not sad, neither grieved with yourselves that you sold me hither here. For God did send me before you for your preservation. For now 2 years of famine have been through the land, and 5 years are behind, wherein neither shall be eating nor harvest. Wherefore, there, for that reason, God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in this land. God sent me ahead of you to make sure you lived and to save you alive by a great deliverance. Now you sent me not hither, but God. You didn't cause me to be here. God did, who has made me a father unto Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste you and go up to my father and tell him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not. Please hurry, don't be slow. Albeit God detests sin, yet he turns man's wickedness to serve so his glory. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen and shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your sheep and your beasts and all that you have. Also, I will nourish you there, for yet remain 5 years of famine, lest you perish through poverty, you and your household and all that you have. And behold, your eyes do see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, and my mouth speaks to you, that my mouth speaks to you. Therefore, tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and all that you have seen, and make haste and bring my father hither here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. What a moving scene. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. These are people who tried to kill him. And afterwards, his brothers talked with him. And the tidings came unto Pharaoh's house, so that they said, Joseph's brothers are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants. They were pleased for Joseph. Then Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say to your brothers, this do you, load your beasts and depart, go to the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat of the fat of the land. I'll settle you in a good part of Egypt, and you will have plenty to eat. And I command you, thus do you, take your chariots out of the land of Egypt for your children and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also, regard not, don't worry about your stuff, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them chariots according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He gave them victual food also for the journey. He gave them all, none except change of raiment. He gave all of them a change of clothes. But unto Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 suits of raiment. And unto his father, likewise, he sent 10 he asses laden with the best things of Egypt and 10 she asses laden with wheat and bread and meat for his father by the way. So sent he his brothers away, and they departed. And he said unto them, fall not out by the way, don't argue along the way. Then they went up from Egypt and came unto the land of Canaan, unto Jacob, their father, Yaakov, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he also is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Yaakov's heart failed, for he believed them not, understandably. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. But when he saw the chariots which Joseph had sent to carry him, then the spirit of Yaakov, their father, revived. And Israel, which is Yaakov, said, I have enough, for Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him, yet I die. I'll go see him before I die. Then Israel, Yaakov, took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifice unto the God of his father, Yitzchak. And God spoke unto Israel in a vision by night, saying, Yaakov, Yaakov, who answered, I am here. Then he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down and bring thee into Egypt, and I will also bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon your eyes. Then Yaakov rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Yaakov, their father, and their children, and their wives, and the chariots with which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, both Yaakov and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt, even Yaakov and his sons, Reuven, Yaakov's firstborn, and the sons of Reuven, Hanoch, and Phallu, and Hezron, and Carmi, and the sons of Simeon, Lemuel, and Yamin, and Ohad, and Yachin, and Zohar, and Shaul, and the son of a Canaanitish woman. Also the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohat, and Merari. Also the sons of Judah, Er, and Onan, and Shelach, and Phares, and Zerah. But Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Phares were Hezron and Chamul, also the sons of Issachar, Tola and Fua and Yob and Shimron, also the sons of Zebulun, Sered and Elon and Yaleel. These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Yaakov in Padan Aram, with his daughter Dinah. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. Also the sons of Gad, Tzifion and Chagi, Shuni and Ezbon, Eri and Arodi and Areli. Also the sons of Asher, Imna, and Ishwa, and Isui, and Beria, and Sarah, their sister, and the sons of Beria, Heber, and Malchiel. These are the children of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter, and these bear unto Yaakov even 16 souls. The sons of Rachel, Yaakov's wife, were Joseph and Benjamin, and unto Joseph, in the land of Egypt, were born Manasseh and Ephraim, which Asnath, the daughter of Potipherah, prince of On, bare unto him. Also the sons of Benjamin, Bela and Becher and Ashbel, Gera and Naaman, Echi and Rosh, Mupim and Chupim and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel, which were born unto Yaakov, 14 souls in all. Also the sons of Dan, Chushim. Also the sons of Naphtali, Yaziel and Guni and Yezer and Shilem. These are the sons of Bilhah, with which Laban gave unto Rachel his daughter, and she bare these to Yaakov in all 7 souls. All these souls that came with Yaakov into Egypt, which came out of his loins, beside Yaakov's sons' wives, were in the whole 80, meaning 20, 40, 60, and 6 souls. Also the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls, so that all the souls of the house of Yaakov, which came into Egypt, are 70. Then he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his way unto Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. Then Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet Israel, his father, and presented himself unto him and fell on his neck and wept upon his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen your face and that you are still alive. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and tell him, my brothers and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me, and the men are shepherds. And because they are shepherds, they have brought their sheep and their cattle and all that they have. And the note says he was not ashamed of his father and kindred, though they were of base condition. And if Pharaoh call you and ask you, what is your trade? Then you shall say, the servants are men occupied about cattle from our childhood even unto this time, both we and our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every sheep keeper is an abomination unto the Egyptians. He's telling them what to say when they meet Pharaoh. Then came Joseph and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brothers and their sheep and their cattle and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And Joseph took part of his brothers, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said unto his brothers, what is your trade? And they answered Pharaoh, your servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for your servants have no pasture for their sheep, so sore is the famine in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray you, let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Almost done. Then spoke Pharaoh to Joseph, saying, your father and your brothers are come unto you. The land of Egypt is before you. In the best place of the land, make your father and your brothers dwell. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know that there are men of activity among them, make them rulers over my cattle. Joseph's great modesty appears in that he would enterprise nothing without the king's commandments, is the note. Joseph also brought Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob saluted Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the whole time of my pilgrimage is 130 years. Few and evil have the days of my life been. And I have not attained unto the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimages. He has had a hard life. And Yaakov took leave of Pharaoh and departed from the presence of Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brothers and gave them possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, even in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread, even to the young children. He fed everybody. Now there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was exceeding sore, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan were famished by the reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph laid up the money in Pharaoh's house. So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, then all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die before you? For our money is spent. Then said Joseph, bring your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if your money be spent. So they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread for the horses and for the flocks of sheep and for the herds of cattle and for the asses. So he fed them with bread for all their cattle that year. But when the year was ended, they came unto him the next year and said unto him, we will not hide from my Lord that since our money is spent and my Lord has the herds of the cattle, there is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our ground. These people are really starving. Why shall we perish in your sight, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be bond to Pharaoh. Therefore give us seed that we may live and not die, and that the land go not to waste. So they're basically saying the same thing that Judah had said, make us your slaves so we can live. So Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his ground because the famine was sore upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And he removed the people unto the cities from one side of Egypt even to the other. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had an ordinary of Pharaoh, an agreement. And they did eat their ordinary, which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their ground. They received kind of a tribute from Pharaoh. Then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you. Sow, therefore, the ground. And of the increase and of the yield, you shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be yours for the seed of the field and for your meat and for them of your households and for your children to eat. So he's finding a way to keep everybody alive. And they answered, you have saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. Then Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which was not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen, and they had their possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Moreover, Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so that the whole age of Yaakov was 147 years. Now, when the time drew near and Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if I have now found grace in your sight, put your hand now under my thigh, which is how, as you recall, people swore oaths at that time, and deal mercifully and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray you, in Egypt. But when I shall sleep with my fathers, you shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial. And he answered, I will do as you have said. Then he said, swear to me. And he swore to him, and Israel worshipped toward the bed's head. Again after this, one said to Joseph, lo, your father is sick. Then he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And again, you'll hear these echoes. You remember from earlier, twice earlier, there have been deathbed scenes in which two sons are seeking the blessing of their father. Also, one told Yaakov and said, behold, your son Joseph has come to you. And Israel took his strength unto him and sat upon the bed. Then Yaakov said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And he said unto me, behold, I will make you fruitful and will multiply you and will make you a great number of people, make a great number of people of you, and will give this land unto your seed after you for an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, which are born unto you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, shall be mine as Reuven and Simeon are mine. So here Yaakov is, whose name is also Israel, is saying the lineage, this sacred lineage, is going through these two children. But your lineage, which you have begotten after them, shall be yours. The other kids you may have will be a non-sacred lineage. They shall be called after the names of their brothers in their inheritance. Now, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died upon my hand in the land of Canaan. This is Israel talking, Yaakov. By the way, when there was but half a day's journey of ground to come to Ephrat, and I buried her there in the way to Ephrat, the same in Bethlehem. And to this day, you can visit Rachel's tomb in Bethlehem. Then Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, whose are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, which God has given me here. Then he said, I pray you, bring them to me that I may bless them. For the eyes of Israel were dim for age with age, so that he could not well see. Then he caused them to come to him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to have seen your face, yet lo, God has shown me also your seed, your offspring. And Joseph took them away from his knees and did reverence down to the ground. Then took Joseph them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand. So he brought them unto him. But Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, which was the younger. And that's not how it was supposed to be. He's supposed to take his right hand and bless the elder. And his left hand upon Manasseh's head, directing his hands of purpose deliberately, for Manasseh was the elder. Also he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Yitzchak did walk, the God which has fed me all my life long unto this day, bless you. The angel which has delivered me from all evil, bless the children, and let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Avram, Abraham, and Yitzchak, that they may grow as fish into a multitude in the midst of the earth." But when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he stayed his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. He tried to put his father's right hand on his eldest son. And Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the eldest. Put your right hand upon his head." But his father refused and said, "I know well, my son, I know well. He shall be also a people, and he shall be great likewise. But his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall be full of nations." So he blessed them that day and said, "In thee Israel shall bless and say, God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. So once again, you have the sense of like, no matter what, God has set the lineage that's going to carry this kind of sacred people forward, and nothing's going to change it. Then Israel said unto Joseph, "Behold, I die, and God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given unto you one portion above your brothers, which I got out of the hand of the Amorite by my sword and by my bow." I'm giving you an extra inheritance, a piece of land. Then Yaakov called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall come to you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Yaakov, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Listen, Reuben, mine eldest son, you are my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. You were light as water. You shall not be excellent because you went up to your father's bed. Then did you defile my bed. Your dignity is gone. Simeon and Levi, brothers in evil, the instruments of cruelty are in your habitations, are in their habitations. Into their secret let not my soul come. My glory be not you joined with their assembly. For in their wrath they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their wrath, for it was fierce, and their rage, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Yaakov and scatter them in Israel." So he's basically cursing these cruel, murderous sons. "Thou, Yehuda, your brothers shall praise you. Yours shall be in the neck of your enemies. Your hand shall be in the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down unto you. Yehuda, as a lion's whelp, shall you come up from the spoil, my son. He shall lie down and couch as a lion and as a lioness. Who shall stir him up? The scepter shall not depart from Yehuda, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh shall come, and the people shall be gathered unto him." And the note says, as was verified in David and Christ. And the note for Shiloh says, which is Christ the Messiah, the getter of all prosperity, who shall call the Gentiles to salvation. He shall bind his ass foal, his donkey's child, unto a vine, and his ass's colt unto the best vine. He shall wash his garment in wine, and his cloak in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell by the seaside, and he shall be an haven for ships. His border shall be unto Sidon. Issachar shall be a strong ass, donkey, crouching down between two burdens, and he shall see that rest is good, and that the land is pleasant, and he shall bow his shoulder to bear, and shall be subject unto tribute. He'll serve others. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel, and the root of justice to this day is Dean, same root. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder by the path, biting the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. O Lord, I have waited for thy salvation. God, a host of men shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Concerning Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall give pleasures for a king. Naphtali shall be a hind, a deer, let go, giving goodly words. Joseph shall be a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by the well side. The small boughs shall run upon the wall. And the archers grieved him and shot against him and hated him. But his bow abode strong, and the hands of his arms were strengthened by the hands of the mighty God of Yaakov, of whom was the feeder appointed by the stone of Israel. Even by the God of your father who shall help you, and by the Almighty who shall bless you with heavenly blessings from above, with blessings of the deep that lies beneath, with blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father shall be stronger than the blessings of my elders. Unto the end of the hills of the world, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the top of the head of him that was separate from his brothers. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf, like rage. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil, the meat. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and thus their father spoke unto them and blessed them, and every one of them blessed he with a several, meaning a unique blessing. And he charged them and said unto them, I am ready to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, besides Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which cave Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession to bury in. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Yitzchak and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and the cave that is therein was bought of the children of Chet. Thus Yaakov made an end of giving charge to his sons, directions, and plucked up his feet into the bed and gave up the ghost and was gathered to his people. And this is the last chapter, and I want to show you something very extraordinary now. Then Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, physicians to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. So 40 days were accomplished, for so long did the days of them that were embalmed last, and the Egyptians bewailed him 70 days. And again, the verisimilitude, we know that Egyptians really did embalm the dead. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke to the house of Pharaoh, saying, if I have now found favor in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, and say, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die, bury me in my grave, which I have made me in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, let me go, I pray you, and bury my father, and I will come again. I'll come back again. Then Pharaoh said, go up and bury your father, and he made as he made you to swear. So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went all the servants of Pharaoh, both the elders of his house and all the elders of the land of Egypt. Likewise, all the house of Joseph and his brothers and his father's house, only their children and their sheep and their cattle left they in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both the chariots and horsemen, and they were an exceeding great company. And they came to Goren Atad, which is beyond Jordan. And there they made a great and exceeding sore lamentation. They wept and mourned. And he mourned for his father 7 days. And to this day, Jews sit Shiva. They mourn for 7 days. And when the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, saw the mourning in Goren Arad, they said, this is a great mourning unto the Egyptians. Wherefore, for that reason, the name thereof was called Abel Mitzrayim, the mourning of the Egyptians, which is beyond Jordan. So his sons did unto him according as he had commanded them. They performed his wishes. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which cave Abraham bought with the field to be a place to bury in of Ephron the Hittite beside Mamre. Then Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father, after that he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, now pay attention, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and will pay us again all the evil which we did unto him. He'll take revenge on us. Therefore they sent unto Joseph, saying, your father commanded us before his death, saying, thus shall you say unto Joseph, forgive now, I pray you, the trespass of your brethren and their sin, for they rewarded you evil. And now we pray you, forgive the trespass of the servants of your father's God. And Joseph wept when they spoke unto him. They were asking his forgiveness. Also his brothers came unto him and fell down before his face and said, behold, we are your servants. To whom Joseph said, fear not, for am not I under God? This is Exodus 50:19. Am not I under God? When you thought evil against me, God disposed it to good, that he might bring to pass as it is this day and save much people alive. Fear not now, therefore, I will nourish you and your children. And he comforted them and spoke kindly unto them. Talk about forgiveness. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children even unto the third generation. He saw his great-grandchildren grow up. Also the sons of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brothers, I am ready to die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore unto Avram, unto Yitzchak, and unto Yaakov. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones hence. So Joseph died when he was 110 years old, and they embalmed him and put him in a chest in Egypt. So remember that verse, Genesis 50:19. Let's take a look at how it got translated. It got translated completely differently. And by the way, the listing of all of those names and the identifying of each of the 12 leaders of what will be the 12 tribes of Israel, I know it can be kind of like exhausting and repetitive, but it's really to reinforce this is a lineage, this is a lineage, this is a sacred lineage. So here in the Holy Bible Revised Standard Version, Catholic Edition, this says, but Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So to me, this is an extraordinary mistranslation, very impactful. The original, as you recall, was, am not I under God? Fear not, am not I under God? In this modern translation, it's fear not, for am I in the place of God? And then this famous, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, which is often quoted. Now let me show you the Hebrew. Vayomer, and said Elohim to them, Yosef, Joseph, Al tir'u, don't be afraid, ki, because hatachat, underneath, Elohim, God, ani, am I. So the Hebrew is exactly literally the same as the Genesis Geneva Bible, I'm sorry, 1560. Tachat, to this day in Hebrew, tachat means under. In fact, your tachat is your bottom. Mitachat means to put underneath. Am not I under God? So what Joseph is actually saying in the Hebrew is, don't be afraid. I can't possibly hurt you. I have to forgive you because I am God's lieutenant. I am working for God. I serve God. I'm under him in a hierarchy. And this was a very hierarchical patriarchal society, in a household, you had Pharaoh and you had Joseph and you had, you know, Joseph Stewart and, you know, very linear hierarchy. So Joseph is saying, I can't possibly harm you or do anything cruel or vengeful to you because I am under God. I'm carrying out God's orders. Well, to me, the translation in the modern version is really kind of blasphemous. And I've looked at other translations that are modern, and they repeat this kind of blasphemous mistranslation. Am I in the place of God? He's not saying, am I in the place of God? That would have been, I mean, it kind of introduces the idea that you can say you're in the place of God, in my view, which is an idea that does not exist, to my knowledge, in the Hebrew Bible. It is an anathema. You know, no one would say that. So to me, it's kind of stunning that later translations are saying, am I in the place of God? As if a human being could be in the place of God. To me, very, very blasphemous mistranslation. Now let's go on to this next famous passage, 50:20. Ve'atem, and you, chashavtem, thought, alai, on me, ra'ah, evil. Elohim, God, chashava, thought, letova, to good. Lema'an, for the sake, asa, he made, kayom, as today, hazeh, this day, lachyot, keep alive, amrav, a great nation, a great population. So to me, this is such a beautiful echo or resonance in the Hebrew that you really don't get even in the Geneva Bible. and God, let's take a look at what it is in the Catholic Bible. God, it's often translated something like, you intended it for evil to me, but God meant it for good. And here it is. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Well, it's not really God intending or meaning. What's so beautiful about the Hebrew is God, the humans, the brothers, the evil brothers who try to kill Joseph, think toward him evil and they manifest it. They think the evil into being. But God thinks too good, letova, chashava, letova. So in the Hebrew, lachshov is to think, ra'a is evil, tova is good, or tov is good, tova is the feminine. And so in the Hebrew, you've actually got the thoughts creating the evil or the good. So basically, it's this incredibly philosophical kind of poem here that basically represents that whatever humans think to evil, God's thoughts are going to prevail, and God's thoughts, you know, manifest good. So you might think you're in a horrible situation. You might think your brothers have just tried to kill you. You might think you're never going to get out of prison. You've been unjustly accused by an official's wife of, you know, attempted rape. All these things happened to Joseph, but God thought toward chashava letova, thought too good for the sake of creating today, this day, to keep a great population alive. So basically, I'm going to just end there, because if you think what it means for humans to think evil and then evil manifests, but God might have a completely different perspective, and in the big picture that you can't see, God is thinking to good and good is manifesting. It means that we really don't know if things that seem super bad that are happening to us might be in God's thoughts, God manifesting something really, really good and beautiful that we can't see yet. And I know that if you look back on your own life, you'll see examples of that. I certainly do. And so here in the Hebrew, you actually get, you know, the thinking, the thoughts make the evil, the thoughts make the good come to life. And in the big picture, Joseph was thrown into a pit. His brothers thought they had murdered him, but in fact, God was handling all of it to get Joseph to Egypt to save a you know, probably millions of people from starving to death and to keep the children of Israel, the lineage, the sacred lineage alive. All right, that's been a long reading, but I thank you. I wanted to share that with you. I'm going to keep going, and that is the Hebrew Bible. I'm sorry, the Geneva Bible, 1560 edition. We're comparing it with the Holy Bible, Revised Standard Edition, and with Chabad.org, and I'll let you see the beautiful, can you see that? There you go. The beautiful Hebrew letters that are so lovely. So take a look at Chabad.org, and you can read the translation side by side with the Hebrew if you don't read Hebrew. Thank you for joining me on this journey. It's Naomi Wolf. Take care.